So here we go. I want to welcome. I want to welcome to the show. It's a new show. I got a soundboard now. Maybe get to hear a little funny side of me. I know you guys are looking for a Bible show where everything is all about the Bible and it's all accurate. We all know that religion and texts and everything have to be accurate. I have to do my due diligence, my research. I've been working on this book 25 years. I've got a degree from all these places. Fuck that, is what I say. And I want to change it up. I want to make it more like Scroll Sessions, even though it's Bible stuff. It's not just Bible stuff, by the way, you fucking hypocrite, fascist, Christian pieces of shit. This is about a little bit of everything. And today we're going to be respectful towards the religion of peace. That's right. We're going to be talking about Islam today. And today I have a respectful woman that wanted to piss her Christian father off. And I wanted to ask her today, you know, by the way, you guys don't know who I'm talking about. So I'll just give you a little backstory. This woman was involved in Islam for like 20 years. She came to her senses. I'm not going to tell you how she came to her senses. It involves ghosts. And that's it. I'm going to tell you anything else. But she came to her senses. She's no longer a practicing Islamite. She is now an infidel. And I praise her for that. And she's we're welcoming her to that which cannot be destroyed. So, round of applause for my guest here, who we'll call her Fatima. Thank you, Fatima, for joining me on the show. And you might want to speak up. We're recording this through my phone. This is That Which Cannot Be Destroyed. Thank you, everybody, for listening, by the way. Hi, Fatima. How are you today?
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm good.
Oh, it's my pleasure to have you. I wanted to ask you, is it worth it? Did you piss your Christian father off? By becoming a follower of Islam, did it work?
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. Why is it not worth it? Let's start there. First of all, let's talk about your perspective as a woman when you were in Islam. Is there anything positive about it that we can salvage for this show that everybody thinks is serious? And, you know, they're trying to hem me in and box me in. And they want to, you know, my listeners want to debate, you know, I'm not into debating things. I'm a funny man, and I'm even funnier now because I have this soundboard in front of me. And so I want to have a lighthearted take on the spiritual scriptures that people have been killing each other over for thousands of years. Let's not take it too seriously, right? But I will ask you a serious question. At some point, I may need you guys to except the serious stuff. Don't get stuck in one frame of mind, okay? If you like this show, that means you're somebody that can go everywhere that I take you. One day I may be serious. One day I may be goofy guy with a soundboard, shock jock, whatever. But it's still the same show. Fret not. We're still going to be talking about ancient scriptures, but from every religion, and we're not going to be debating them. We're just going to... I like to talk to people, see how they feel about it. And it's just a conversational podcast. You know, so don't judge Fatima too harshly now. Don't put a fatwa out on her head. And also, if you're a Christian, how about you take your head out of your ass and study a new religion? It may be interesting to you, right? You don't know everything, okay? Because you've accepted Christ doesn't make you better than anyone else. Okay, I got that out of the way. Sorry, I went off on a tangent there. Fatima, I'm sorry. Back to you. Is there anything positive that you could take away? I mean this seriously. Is there anything positive that you can derive from your experience in Islam?
No, just kidding. I think what drew me to that world was just the multicultural layers to it, that there could be people of all different nationalities in one room.
Yeah.
Coming together.
So you saw that was something different in your perspective, right? The multicultural aspect to Islam. You saw maybe there was a spirituality that was a little more open-minded, a little more free than whatever it was that you were raised with, right? Like whatever experience you may have had growing up, you saw something different from that, and that's kind of what attracted you, right?
Yeah, and to kind of expand on that, where I grew up, there were several churches on one street.
Yeah.
So what does that say? That says division. That says, you know,
because they were all, these were all Christian churches.
Yeah.
But each one of them was a different denomination.
Exactly. And so it was always really interesting to see that there would be different thought processes within each church. And we were all so close to each other. Why couldn't we all come together and hang out?
During those times, did you witness any, like, people from those churches kind of talking bad about the church next door, or like?
Absolutely. I mean, there were some churches that were beer drinkers. You know, God forbid they drink beer.
Whoa, that sounds like a cool church. What? I wish I would have went to that church growing up. I don't think that we didn't have any of that. I would have enjoyed that. I think they sound like the fun church. Were they the fun church, or were they judgmental too?
They were probably judgmental too, but at least they were drinking beer together.
It seems like everybody thinks that their version of an interpretation is the best thing.
Yeah.
And they're willing to, at the very least, like, argue with family. You know what I mean? That's the least of it. Mm-hmm. The worst of it is killing. Like, people are willing to kill each other over this stuff.
Yeah.
But did you, what are some other good things about Islam that you experienced in your time in that?
That's a great question.
Were there any, like, favorite scriptures from the Quran? Or any...
I guess, like, just knowing that the belief is that there's just one God and there's not any confusion about, like, the Trinity, for example. That's kind of confusing, or it can be confusing for some. So I think that was what was interesting, that you could just turn your worship to one supernatural being without having to understand the complications of other entities that might be connected to that God.
Yeah, and you're like, you have these complications and you're like, how do I relate to what aspect of the Trinity? Like, how do I relate to the Holy Ghost?
Exactly.
And the Son and Jesus and the Father. And like, so who do I pray to? Who's God? Who's this?
Exactly.
So in Islam, it's like, no, there's just one God. That's it.
And then the rest are prophets. So that's
easier to understand.
Exactly.
So as of now, this isn't really a long form podcast. I usually try to keep the shows within like 15 minutes. And I apologize. It's the people that stuck around this far, thank you for sticking around. I apologize for the craziness at the beginning. I have Tourette's syndrome, and sometimes I can't control stuff, and I want to be funny, and I know that it may be hurtful for some of you sensitive people. I notice that people that turn to religion are typically very sensitive people. They're like empathetic sometimes. You know, they feel things, they feel emotions, and that's sometimes why they turn to God. Mm-hmm. You know, they turn to spirituality, they turn to these ancient scriptures. So no disrespect to anybody. I'm a funny man sometimes, but I'm also into all this stuff. I find it fascinating. Also, something I wanted to ask you, Fatima, is what led you out of Islam ultimately? What was the beginning? What was the first thing, if you can remember? If you don't mind sharing it with us.
I think that there's a lot of restrictions on women.
Sorry, excuse me. I have IBS, irritable bowel syndrome, as well as
a
multitude of other things and mental illnesses. But go ahead.
The smell.
Continue with what you were saying.
It's really terrifying.
Excuse me.
Dress code. I don't do well with dress code. So that's a tough one for me. See? I went to Christian school when I was a little girl, and we had a dress code, and it was a uniform and pantyhose and for the girls, not the boys.
And you didn't like that back then?
I didn't mind it, but I think it was enforced long enough that I wanted to maybe rebel against that at some point. So I always kind of had an oath that no matter what my spiritual journey leads to, I'm not going to wear anything outwardly to show the world
right
my belief. I don't think that that's necessary.
And you thought that maybe in Islam it wouldn't be as restrictive, right, as maybe the uniform days of your past.
Yeah, which is kind of, it's kind of funny, right? Because Islam is very outward with what they wear. But mm-hmm. I think when I started to communicate with different Muslims, they really emphasize that that's really a, if you want to wear that, it's not a big deal. Just be yourself. Come as you are.
Yeah.
That was the message originally, but things shifted and there were subtle ways of making one, you know, feel, or making me feel like I should dress more modestly if I'm in those circles.
Yeah. They're always like soft with you and open and oh, we accept you as you are. And they're forgiving and merciful and, you know, all the things that these scriptures, most of them teach you to be. Pardon me. But they always do that so that you won't be shunned, like so that you won't instinctually go away from them.
Exactly.
Because if right away they're all controlling, you're not going to join something like that. That
right.
You just are getting to know. They want to coax you and manipulate you and draw you in. And it seems like most groups are like this. They don't get less restrictive. In my experience, the rules always just get stricter, and they just are slowly clenching their hands around your neck. You know, they're slowly suffocating you, and they're saying, you know, I'll let go of your neck if you do this. Whoa! There's all kinds of things falling and breaking. There's chaos. It sounds like one of my neighbors might have crashed their car. I really hope everybody's okay.
Me too.
I've noticed that, though, that they're nice at the beginning, and then they start to get more restrictive and mean and judgmental. And that's probably every religion except Buddhism, you know. But there's probably even, that probably even exists within that, you know. Once you start going to these retreats and they're charging you thousands of dollars, and it's like they're going to, like everything that has a structure to it, that has a rule system, it seems like there's always extra rules added as you get, spend more time there, as you get deeper in there. Even at jobs I've had, it's always like more rules, more and more rules. And it's just, I mean, maybe that's just the way of the chaos of the universe and the order that we're trying to make out of this chaos.
Definitely. And identity is very much like what we wear. So to suddenly have a massive amount of people kind of trying to shift your perspective of how you should appear outwardly, that's stripping away your own identity.
Yeah.
In a way. And I can give you an example. I went into a mosque once and I was wearing jeans, and I looked around and I was the only woman wearing jeans. Everybody else was wearing either a long dress or an abaya, which is like typically a black kind of cloak that you put over your clothing, and a hijab, so that's the headscarf. So I figured out, but come as you are, right? So I thought it was perfectly fine for me to be in there with jeans. But as I was leaving, I kind of got chased after, you know, somebody chased after me, a woman, and told me, never come back if I'm going to wear jeans. And she said it in those words. She said, never come back here if you're going to wear those. And I never went back to that particular one because that wasn't welcoming at all. I thought that was really restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of my first glance. And then the second glance, and I know we don't have a whole lot of time and we can talk about this next time.
Oh, that's okay.
But, was meeting other converts and learning that they got pressured into changing their names, like I did, Fatima. So, I'm sorry. It's not funny, but it's kind of sad.
It... So people, other women were pressured into changing their names?
Yes. I laugh at this because of the it's a sad reality that women would feel, men too, actually. I mean, I did meet a lot of male converts that had like new names. And it's funny to me now, but it's quite sad because that's if we're talking about stripping away one's identity by changing your outward appearance. Well, you're born and you're named by your parents, and that's your name you've been hearing your whole life. And then suddenly you're in this group that pressures you into changing your name to an Islamic name. That's the next step to taking your own identity away.
So, that's what cults do too. They separate you from your family and from your past identity, and they're able to build you up. They're able to break you down and build you up to what they want. So, but what you're telling me though is that there weren't a lot of Cassius Clays in this group. Thank you,
Not.
thank you, thank you. We just to let the people listening know, we are recording this before a live audience. How you guys doing out there? Well, somebody's having a good time.
Thank you.
So, let's leave the people with a message of hope. somebody that may really love Islam. Anyway, yeah, forget about that angle. We're not gonna go down that path. Let's help the people that want to escape.
Yes.
This is a Christian, like, conservative show. We're pro-Trump. Just kidding. We're not. We don't take any political stance. We're just kidding there. But if somebody, so let's talk about the movies that influenced you and helped you to, like, reclaim your soul. What are the top, let's give me it's a short form podcast, so we like top five type shit on this type of format.
Okay,
So,
so
what were the top five movies that helped you reclaim your soul as a California girl?
well, I would say horror, so like The Witch.
Okay, yeah, I'm feeling that.
Everyone's feeling that. I
Yeah,
can
all
the
right?
room
Am I right?
totally like reacted to that. Hereditary.
Yes,
See,
I have a
yeah.
personal
I
favorite.
can see you over there. You're happy about
Yeah,
that.
you in the back over there. I mean,
Yep.
you don't
I got
hide. I
a
mean, don't hide it. It's
big
great.
thumbs up over across the room. Midsummer.
Yeah, these are hits. I mean, these are modern day hits. Top three. Your
Yeah.
top three are like my top three. So what's?
Lighthouse.
Oh man, yeah, Robert Pattinson. I was sold after that.
And then gosh.
Number five.
Suspiria.
Yes. Oh, I was hoping you would say that because I know that you're really into dancing and stuff like that,
Yeah.
and you were before Islam
Exactly.
ruined
So
your
we need
life.
to cover that at another during another talk as well.
We'll cover that
If
eventually.
anyone wants to listen or hear.
Oh, I'm sure they
Yeah.
will. Well, thank you for joining us, Fatima. I'm glad that you came and talked to us today here on That Which Cannot Be Destroyed. And I want to remind people what that name means to me, what the title of this podcast means to me personally. It can mean whatever you want it to mean for you. And I hope you guys chime in and you can tell me what you think it means. That which cannot be destroyed for me is that fire that keeps us going. It keeps us alive. It also protects us from tyranny of the mind, as Thomas Jefferson would call it. It's the flame of Prometheus. It's that flame of rebellion. It keeps us human. It keeps us spiritually free, connected to the source of creation, in my opinion. And that is that which cannot be destroyed. Thank you guys for joining me. It's been great. Let's give a warm round of applause to Fatima for joining us.
Thank you for having
You're
me.
very welcome. You're welcome back anytime, by the way. And you're very beautiful.
Oh, thank you so
If you guys
much.
can't see, I'm touching her inappropriately. Okay, that's not that kind of show. Sorry, sorry, sorry. All right, guys, thanks for listening. I love all of you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right. Goodbye.